share. I want to continue in our series of being relevant in this season. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 91. So this is our part two of our series. We're going to read from Psalms 91, 2, and then we're going to dive into chapter 2 of Esther. All right, so we're going to have fun tonight. I want to just share a few things. I've got about 25% left of power on my iPad, so I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick. And so I have a problem with charging things, like my kids. I forget to plug everything in. All right. Glory to God. So Psalms chapter 91, 2. Have y'all been doing your homework? Come on, we're reading Psalms 91 every morning, every night. Every morning, every night. I get up at 5 o'clock and I hold little 80. And I have one hand on the bottle. I got the other one, my phone, reading Psalms 91. Getting through it, man, reading it. Come on. Who dwells in the shelter of the Most High? Come on, rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a powerful, powerful chapter, powerful verse. And I want us to look at verse 2. Now, we're not going to take one verse by verse in this whole series, because that takes us forever to get through. But I felt like verse 2 was pretty awesome. So, well, I want to read it. If you got your Bibles, turn there with me. I'm at page, I don't know what page this one is. I'm on my iPad here. 502, all right. All right, there you go. Come on. There you go. That's it. So Psalms 91, 2, so y'all ready? Y'all ready to read this? All right, y'all ready? It says, I will say, all right, stop there. Close your Bible for a few minutes. At the very beginning, it says, I will say. I love that, man. It's like saying, I'm about to say something. That's going to be significant. It's powerful. I love it. Okay? Now, I want to circle back to that in just a few minutes. We'll circle back to that one. Okay? All right? Let me tell you something. I want to recap just a little bit about from last week. Because I want to make sure we kind of tie everything together. God has called us to be relevant in this season. It doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, how experienced you are, how non-experienced you are. God's called you for this season and time, right here, right now. You are a minister of the gospel. There's only one thing that is required to be a minister. You got to be born again. That's it. When you're born again and you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, you are a minister of the gospel. You are a light for this world to see. You're called to shine that light. Amen? You know, it may not be the fact that you may not be called to be a pastor. You may not be called to come up here and hold a microphone, but you are called to be a minister to your family, to your workforce. Come on, amen. To the person in the grocery store, to the waitress and the waiter that's having a bad day. Amen. So show the love of God to them. Come on. Amen. It was so funny. Last week, Sunday, we went to the restaurant. Chili's. I don't have patience. So if I have to wait more than 45 minutes, I'm going to go to the other restaurant somewhere else. It ain't worth it. So we sit there for about, for about 30 minutes. They said our wait is. 30 minutes, so about 10 minutes into it, I'm like, I'm done. See, Andrew is like, and he's been hosting, so he knows how it feels to be that person there. And I'm like, I'm going to go talk to this person. I'm going to find out where we're at. All the other people are happy. I just want to check to make sure. Andrew's like, yeah, okay, calm down. You know, it's okay. Just, I know how they are. It's okay. I'll be nice. We are ministers everywhere we go. And it's not necessarily, and literally, it's not about beating people upside the head with Scripture. It's about walking it out daily. You know, I love what happened to me the other day, Tuesday, or yesterday morning. I took stop by McDonald's. She's not spoiled. And got her a hash brown and chocolate milk. and we got to the window. We got close to the window. She says, "Roll my window down. Roll my window down." Okay. Let me roll your window down. So, and she starts yelling. She goes, you know how you get two windows, first pay and then the first window? She's like, "Yeah, roll my window." Avery, y'all know how she is. She's saying it to the top of her lungs to make sure they acknowledge that she is saying that. And so finally the guy acknowledges, and so we go to the next window. Guess what? She does it again. And but the thing was awesome is that it left both those people smiling from ear to ear. And it really did bless them. Now, I tell you this, I've never told my daughter to say that. I've never sat there and said, "Now, this is what we do." I've never told her that. She's just seen her mother and her father and her papa do it. She has seen it. We didn't preach it to her. We didn't pound it at her. She just saw it. So she did it. And that's how we are to be as ministers, to do it, to walk it out. We don't have to hammer people upside the head. We walk this thing out. Amen? That's how we are the light. We're called to be ministers of the gospel. And God has called every single one of us for such a time as this, no matter how old you are, how young you are, how small you are, how big you are, come on, all right? God's called us for this season to be relevant. Amen. Glory. So I want us to look at Esther. Esther chapter 2. Turn there. So for the first, we dove into it yesterday, last week, about Esther, the first chapter of Esther. How the whole book is about Esther, right? The whole book, the whole, it's called Esther. It's the whole thing from, it's about Esther's life and how God used Esther. But the funny thing is in chapter 1, there is no mention of Esther. Not even a mention. There's none. I have to double check the text. Okay? There's nothing says anything about Esther. She's not even discussed. There's no topic about it. God was, chapter 1, there was this amazing setup that was happening. Poor Esther, that she had no idea about. And that's just like in our lives, that God is always setting up amazing things for us. Behind the scenes, He's always working on our behalf. He's always going before us. He's never left us or forsaken us. Sometimes we get to seasons where it's quiet. But I promise you, God's doing something behind the scenes because He's always there. He's always going before us. Amen? So I want to read, as we read in chapter 2, I want to land on this one particular verse, chapter 7. This is where Esther comes on the scene, and there's a description that they describe Esther as, they use a description to describe Esther that just really kind of surprised me. Why is that in there? And I begin to dive, and God began to really kind of show me something in this. So I want to look at Esther chapter 2, verse 7. Chapter 2, verse 7. I'm going to slow down. I'm really going to get excited. Sorry. All right. You guys there? Chapter 2, verse 7. It says, Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah. Whom he brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This girl, who is also known as Esther, was lovely in form and features. And Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. You know, there's nothing in the Word of God that is not significant. There's a reason why it's there. And I look at that and I think about her mother and her father had died. So she was not raised by her mother and father traditionally. She was raised by a cousin. Now, I think about that and I think about even nowadays. I've never met anybody that had lost parents at an early age, has not had some type of scars, some kind of issues emotionally that they have walked through. You know, it doesn't really say at what age they died. The scholars that say it was this time and then it was this time, and they're all over the place, but it doesn't know, but we don't know. But we know that her mother and her father died. raised by Mordecai. Now, I think about this, and I think about the pain of loss that happens in people's lives. I think about my mom when she passed away. I remember sitting back, and this is such a significant time in my life. I remember like it was yesterday. It's so vivid, the moment, just this quiet place that I had with me, just me and the Lord, while everybody was having lunch over here after the service, and everybody was fellowshipping, and I just couldn't be around anybody. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just needed to be with me. And so I went back here and sat right here in this chair and just had the lights off and just sat. I couldn't speak, couldn't my emotions. I couldn't even define the emotions that I was feeling. And I know each one of us, you have been probably in the same exact spot where you've lost someone significant. You just numb. You don't know what to say. Words can't even describe it. It's a significant moment in your life. There's other times in our lives that are very significant moments in our lives that we could all probably come back and remember that are just vivid points, past hurt, where someone was, where we had the experience that was hurtful, that hurt us emotionally. Moments of pain where a family member did this or this happened or this happened where, man, these are significant moments in our lives. Accidents, significant moments in accidents that change things. Brother North, you know, when you had your accident, I can't even imagine the thoughts that were going through your brain and Miss North's brain of where do we go from here? What do we do? What's the next step? I just had an 18-wheeler roll over and take my leg. I can't do what I've been doing for all my life. Brother Tony, come on, the most gnarly thing I've ever seen in my entire life, a brake pedal sticking out of your leg. Okay? When you had your accident, it was a significant moment in your life that you will never forget. That moment that you saw that vehicle coming straight at you. Y'all, Jesus. Then next thing you know, you're all sorts of discombobulated. And we've all experienced those things, right? I think about that, and I think about Esther and those significant moments that were this, and just the different moments in our lives that were significant moments and points. Can I tell you something? That, and even this, and I'll say even this, I'll say this, even with our failures, significant moments in our lives of failure. Every one of us has had failures where we were disobedient to God's word and we did something completely opposite of His word. Okay? Every single one of us in this room has had significant failures. And most of you probably the same way where we can remember those points where we know we messed up. Or it's a big one. Amen? Every one of us in this room, no different, these moments are significant. I want to tell you something. Do you really think that any of these moments took God off guard? You really think at any moment, Brother Tony, when you're about to, you had that crash, God was like, oh! Did not see that coming. Woo! God was, woo, I did not expect that to come out of Pastor's mouth. Woo! Did not expect that. Not for a moment. See, God knows everything. What did God do in Deuteronomy 31:8 says He's gone before us. So that tells me He's gone before us. He knows what's up. He's got a plan for us. See, He knows you by name. He knows every hair on your head. You are perfect. God may put you on a platform next week. You have no idea. But right now, you may not be. God's called you to other places, other positions. You're a minister of the gospel. You're going to have purpose. I want to read something to you. I want all of us to look at it. Psalms 139. We're going to kind of just go through this a little. I'm going to slow down just a little bit. And I want to read this whole chapter. It's not too many verses. It's 24 verses. But I want us to read this. This is so good because God knows us. He knows every moment that we've experienced in our lives. Psalms chapter 139. Did they say amen? All right. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. God, you know my heart. You know my thoughts. You know my failures. You know my positive attributes. You know my negative things that I've done, what I'm working on. You know everything about me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You know, you discern my going out and my laying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God, you know what I'm about to say. You know what I'm about to do. You know every single thing about me. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Like, I don't even hardly understand. I don't understand how you know everything that you're telling me. It doesn't fit between my ears. But you are God. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your hand will hold me. Wherever we go, wherever we've been, whatever situation, he's there. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day. For darkness is a light to you. It has light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. God, you knit me in my mother's womb. You wove me. You wove me. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed. You saw me. You knew me. Before anybody else was thinking about me, you were thinking about me. You saw it. Your eyes saw my unformed back at Esther and look at this position that she was in and see how through this situation, her mother and her father passing away, through this particular thing that happened, I'm not saying that it was God's will that those mother and the father passed away, but because when sin entered the world at the very beginning, death, like when death came in. But see, the thing is that God every opportunity to make shifts in our lives. He uses hurts and pains. He uses any kind of thing to shift us, to place us, to be relevant in this time and in this season. See, he used this particular situation, the death of Esther's mother and father, to shift her into a position and opened up the door for her. God used that moment to shift her into this position. Now, see, I know we've been told for years, and we've been taught, and I've said it for myself, that man, to not look back at our past, to always strain forward to what is ahead. You know, I love that scripture, Psalms, or Ephesians, or Philippians, where Paul's saying, I press on toward the mark to win the prize. Not looking back, but strain toward what is ahead. I love that. That's been my theme song for my life, man. Straight forward, go forward, go forward. And we preach it, to not look back, to not look back. But I want to tell you something. Your past is significant. See, your past has shaped you. Church, we need to realize that it is your past that has positioned you into a place you're at right now. To the doors that God's been opening to you right now. God's positioned you and moved you and shaped you to the person you are to be relevant with the family members that you are in right now. God used your failures to shift you. Turn those failures to good. Turn those failures to testimonies. He's used those hurts and pains to help you be more compassionate, to be shift you. He's used experiences like you, Brother North, to absolutely change your whole entire dynamic of where your direction. It changed everything. It shifted your life. Completely. Brother Tony, your experience shifted you to draw closer to God than ever before. Our failures, man. We look back at them and we say, oh, I'm ashamed of it because we don't like it. But because of that failure, it propelled you to try to do better and work at it a little harder. Come on, amen. Because you see what it did to you. You see what it caused. So it causes you to strive harder, to try to work harder at it. Amen. To change some things up, to propel you. So what I'm saying tonight is that God has positioned and done so many things and has always been at work in our lives to position us and place us for moments and times to be more relevant than ever. To love, to have more compassion than ever. We've been through hurt, so we can actually relate more to people that are hurt, so we can love them. I would never be able to ever touch the pain of losing a mother if I had not lost my mother. Now I can feel it. I can understand it. If I hadn't messed up like I did, I couldn't use that as a testimony to reach other fellas. Come on, amen, other people. God used that and shifted and worked. Come on, amen. Now let me circle back to our scripture. Psalms 91, verse 2. I love this. It says, Psalms 91, verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord, I will speak it out of my mouth. I will declare it. See, there's something that happens when we speak something out of our mouth. See, the Word of God says our mouth is like a udder moving a big old ship. Some ships are bigger, okay? All right? And when we speak something, it moves us. Amen. When we speak it out of our mouth, if I'm a negative Nancy about every single thing, what's going to happen? I'm going to be negative about everything. I'm going to be woe is me all the time. Amen. Come on. If I sat there and was negative about my job, I would be getting bitter going in to sell dirt. But God positioned me at that job to sell dirt. So I'm going to sell dirt, bless God. God put me there, so thank you, Lord, for that position. Never wanted to sell dirt, but God has me there, bless God. So I'm happy. So I speak it out. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. Now here's the part where I want to land on tonight. It says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength, my fortress, my God in Him. I will trust. I will trust. See, church, we need to get a hold of something that God has done, and He has worked, and He has moved us, and He has positioned us, and He's used every single thing in our past to propel us and to be effective and more relevant today than ever before. See, Brother North can reach people that I can't because of his leg. Come on, amen. Brother Tony can reach people that I can't because he's had a pedal sticking out of his leg. All right. He can reach people because he's better. I mean, God's opened the door for him to go speak to the biker folks. Come on, because you've had some influence right there with Anthony and all his group. God's positioned you through all of that. It's opening doors for you to do that. Amen. So, to try to finish this thing up and tie this all together. See, each one of us are ministers, and if you desire to actually really grab a hold of this, you've got to say, God, I trust you. See, instead of looking in the mirror, because this is what the devil wants. He wants you to look at the mirror and say, Miss North, you look in the mirror and say, I'm just this. I'm just, I'm only singing in front of a few people. I'm only doing this. That's what the devil wants. The devil wants me to look in the mirror. Oh, I've been at this place. You've done this. You're never going to be. You stutter. You can't recall. You really got to study really, really, really hard. You have to have notes, but you can't get up there without notes. You're fearful. You got all kinds of problems. You struggle with this. You struggle with this. You got this going. Now, see, I can speak that out because that's what the devil wants. And he's always yelling at that with me. It's the same thing with all of you. He's yelling at all kinds of stuff. But see, the Word of God says for us in Psalms 91 says, I will say it. Sometimes it's out of faith. Sometimes you don't even feel it. But I'm going to say it. God, I trust you. I trust you that you've made some incredible shifts. I trust you that you never left me or forsaken me. I trust you that you've gone before me. I trust you that you shifted me in this position. I trust you that you're doing a work behind the scenes that I don't know about. I trust you that you are moving on my behalf. I trust you, God, because you're moving me into places that I could never imagine. I trust you, God, because you're doing things. I trust you, God, because that's what your word says. You're doing and you're shifting and you're working behind the scenes. And you love me. You forgave me. Grace has covered all of that. Amen. Come on. And we learn from that. Yeah, we drive a little more careful. Yeah, we're a little more cautious about things. We've experienced it. God shifted us, moved us, moved our thinking into this position we're even here right now. And I promise you, God has called each one of you to be relevant this evening. He's used your path, He's used your experiences to put you in a place where you are right now and open doors for you to share the gospel with people that have experienced that, they're hurting, and maybe walk through the time, same things that you've walked through. God's using you and putting you in places that you're relevant. Your purpose. Amen. That's some good preaching. Yeah, I don't care who you are. Hallelujah. Father, I love you tonight. God, you're so good. Lord, I pray you just use this word, God. Let it glorify you, Father. Let it resonate in hearts, Lord. God, you've called us to do amazing things and be more relevant in this season than ever. God, you've used shifted over and over and over again through moments of pain, through moments of hurt, through moments of failure. God, you used them all for your glory, moving us and shaping us. And God, when I look in the mirror, when I speak, when I talk, God, that's what I want to come out of my heart, is I trust you. I want my movement to speak, I trust you. I want my heart to speak, I trust you, God. I want my brain, God, to function. I want to read your word and say, words come out of off the pages. As we read, God, I trust you. I trust you that your word is real. I trust you that your word is true. I trust you that you're doing a work in my life. I trust you that you're opening doors. I trust you that you've called me to be more relevant than ever in my life. God, I trust you. I'm going to speak it out. God, I trust you. You're my refuge. You're my strength. You're my everything, God. I love you, God. I thank you for the word tonight. Lord, let it resonate in hearts. Lord, I pray it helps and encourages and blesses, Father, Lord, to help to bring a fresh perspective of your word, God. My prayer that it encourages, it strengthens, Lord. I thank you for it. Thank you for what you're going to do with us next Wednesday. Thank you for what you're doing with our Sunday services, God. I thank you for a fresh move of God that you've been doing and you've been pouring out, Lord. Lord, I thank you for Brother Tony, God, and the door that is opening for him. Lord, be with him and guide him, Father, in that. Lord, I praise you for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,